Surah Ibrahim alayhi salam, verses 28 through 30, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala anbiya'illahi jami'an, wa ala sayyidihim wa khatamihim, habibi ilahil alameen, abil qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سيما سيدنا ومولانا وإمامنا وقائدنا الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي المنتظر أرواحنا له الفداء وعجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم تر إلى الذين بدلوا نعمة الله كفرا وأحلوا قومهم دار البوار جهنم يصلونها وبئس القرار وجعلوا لله أندادا ليضلوا عن سبيله قل تمتعوا فإن مصيركم إلى النار. صدق الله العلي العظيم. God's blessings on us are countless. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If we try to count God's blessings on us, you cannot count them. لَا تَعُدُّهَا, because it is countless. Imagine every day, every night, every morning, every hour of your life. You need everything. You need your brain to function very well. You need to breathe, you need to eat, you need to drink. You need not to be lonely. You need to be strong. You need peace, you need family. These blessings are countless. But sometimes God says some people are in ingratitude. They do not thank, they do not appreciate, they do not even remember that there is God who's giving them, who's supplying them. They don't remember. When do they remember? At the time when they miss these blessings, when they are taken away from them. Then they realize that there was some blessings. We enjoyed some blessings for so many time. Did I tell you the story of the mother who used to cook for her husband and her children? She had many children. Every day she cooks food. They never say thank you. They just come and eat and leave. Now the mother, of course, she loves her family. But there are adab, there are manners, there are ethics, akhlaq. And the simplest of the akhlaq is to give thanks. When someone does something good to you, anything, appreciate that. Respect him, respect her. Acknowledge. They did not acknowledge. They took their mother and her services and her sacrifice and her work for granted. And that is very terrible. So one day she cooked the food, but she did not put salt in the food. When you don't put salt, you know, moderate salt, not too much, the food is not, it's not going to be tasty. So that day, they came, they ate, with the first, second bite, they all turned to their mother, "Mom, what happened to the food today?" She said, "I'm glad. At least you acknowledge that I am the one who's cooking the food and providing you with this food. Because you just realized that the food is not tasty. Now you remembered your mother is the one who's cooking the food, bringing the food, providing the food." When God takes some of these blessings, then we remember. But it is too late. God says in this verse, verse 28, in Surah Ibrahim, "Alam tara." Ya Rasulullah, have you not considered? Alamtara means, have you not considered? And through the Prophet, God is talking to us. Have we not considered, we the people, have we not considered? Alam tara ila alladhina baddalu ni'matallahi kufran. To those who exchanged, who switched and altered and exchanged the blessings of God, kufran, in ingratitude. Wa ahallu qawmuhum. As a result of disrespecting God, disappreciating God, what happened to their communities, to their families? Listen. Listen to what happened to their fate. وَأَحَلُّوا قَوْمَهُمْ دَارَ الْبَوَارِ. They caused their communities and their people and their families to dwell in where? دار القرار. In the abode of perdition. Abode of perdition and damnation, which is hellfire. Now this verse 28 has general application, generic application, and it has a specific application too. What is the generic and general application of this verse? It applies sometimes to individuals who do not appreciate God's blessings. God gives them health, He gives them money, wealth, He gives them reason, but they don't appreciate. They destroy their lives and the lives of their families through committing sins. I know someone who destroyed his life through gambling, qimar. He was addicted to gambling. It happened several years ago. He kept losing. He would sell his furniture. He sold his business. He sold his house. Can you imagine his house? Because he was hoping to win. It's an illusion. They made it in a way, these casinos, they made it in a way that you might lose once in a while, but they are the winners. This is how they designed it. And then when he lost everything, he came back home. He traveled from Vegas to his hometown. He arrived in the evening or early morning. He was so devastated because he lost every penny. He took a gun. He killed his wife in her bed. He killed his two sons or two childs. I don't know whether they were male or female in their bed. And then he turned the gun into his head. بَدَّلُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ كُفْرًا. God has given him reason, health, wealth. And there are millions of businesses. Go and use your talent somewhere else. Why do you go through the wrong way? Why do you go into the wrong direction? Why? There is a reason when God says no gambling. There is a reason. Otherwise, God wants you to make money. If God knows this is a safe way, He will say, go, gamble. But this is a dangerous way. Sometimes individuals who destroy their lives, not just their own lives, the lives of their wives, their kids, their extended family members, sometimes their neighborhoods and their communities. They destroy the life of their communities. I was watching a short documentary the other day about the families of ISIS, their women and their children who have been captured, and some of them are in camps, concentration camps, things like that, being held in these camps. One of them said, my father joined ISIS and I was about to get married. I was going to school. She came all the way from Indonesia. He took me with my mother. He says, let's go for jihad. Your jihad is not when you study, when you go to school. Your jihad is when you join your father. Let's go to Syria to fight fi sabilillah. He went there. He was captured. I don't know whether he killed or not. I don't know. God knows. So he's imprisoned now, separated from his wife, separated from his daughter, and they live shattered, you know. The family is devastated, and now he's crying. He says, I made a big mistake in my life. After what? It's too late. Don't destroy your life and the life of your families. Don't do that. Sometimes an individual does that. He turns the blessings of God into what? Into curse. بدلوا نعمة الله نعمة, the blessings, the gifts of God, into what? Into a curse upon themselves and their families. Sometimes it's the rulers, umara, the presidents, the sultans, the kings. They change the blessings of God that has given to their own countries into curse upon their countries, upon their people, upon their society. See how many millions of people are suffering today. Just look at Syria. How many refugees we have now, right now, right now. How many refugees we have? Because, huh? 5-6 millions. Some people say 8 million people. They lost everything. When you lose your home, it's not easy, my friends. Imagine one night you sleep outside your house in the street. Imagine only one night. Try. Imagine sleep in the car on your driveway. You don't feel good about it. You get devastated when you lose your house, when you lose your family, when you lose your business. Because of the selfishness of some people who insist on war, who insist on displacing people. They are living in their palaces with everything, with the luxury, and they are fueling the war. This is only one country, and we have many other countries, many other societies. Their life was turned upside down because of a bunch of selfish gangsters who are ruling the country. So this is one example, generic example of those who change their blessings into a curse. But the specific example, the tafsir of this ayah, according to the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, those who change the blessings of God into damnation, into curse, are Banu Umayyah wa Banu al-Mughira, who are also mentioned in the same chapter, few verses before, which is verse, what verse? وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ, verse 26. Two verses before 28. وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ, the parable of the wicked and evil tree. The evil tree, شَجَرَةُ بَنِي أُمَيَّةِ. The family of Banu Umayyah, God has given them and the entire world the best gift. What was the gift? Huh? Islam, and specifically Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with the Prophet is his family, Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. God presented those noble, purified people to mankind. So we follow them. We take their examples. But they turned their swords against them. They rejected the Prophet. They denied the Prophet. They called the Prophet names. بَدَّلُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ كُفْرًا, rather than welcoming the Prophet and saying, Alhamdulillah, Allah honored us with such a leader. With such a leader who is saving us, bringing us dignity, bringing us respect, worth, value. Rather than giving thanks to Allah, they switched, they exchanged this great gift and a blessing into what? Into damnation for themselves and those who followed them till the day of judgment. Believe me, all those who follow Bani Umayyah would not find stability, would not find happiness in this life, neither in this life nor in the hereafter. In the hereafter, God says about Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is an example, huh? Not just him, thousands like him, thousands of tyrants. يقدم قومه يوم القيامة فأوردهم النار. He's going to lead his nation, those who followed him, those who felt proud about him and obeyed him and listened to him. He's going to lead them into the hellfire. So the destruction is not here, just here. The destruction, the bigger destruction is there. يوم القيامة, day of judgment. ألم تر إلى الذين بدلوا نعمة الله كفرا وأحلوا قومهم دار البوار. God gives blessings to us, to mankind, to the humanity. Now, in this life, you can see some leaders are turning their countries into an oasis of peace, development, growth, stability, harmony, respect. My friends, I was in Rwanda last month in January. Small African country. This country is amazing. Believe me, it's amazing. It's a miracle. This country is a miracle. Miracle. 1994, this country had a civil war from April till July. 3 months of civil war that cost them 1 million people. 1 million men, women, children, even infants. They turned against each other. The Hutu, which is the majority, turned against the Tutsi, which is the minority. And they slaughtered them. Genocide, genocide. Ethnic cleansing, genocide. One tribe against the other. 1 million filled the streets. Rescuers who went from United Nations, they could not land because of the terrible smell of the bodies. Bodies, human bodies, filled the streets, every corner. Now you go there, you walk in the evening. You cannot walk anywhere after dark in any African country except Rwanda. You can leave your hotel and walk in peace. Nobody bothers you. Beautiful, clean, disciplined, organized. This is Africa. I'm telling you, this is Africa. Neighboring countries are terrible. Neighboring countries that surrounds them, the Congo, terrible. It's not safe. You can't go to the Congo. To the right, Uganda, it's not safe. Ethiopia, it's not safe. To the south, it's not safe. To the north, South Sudan, they have civil war. This country in the middle, peaceful. Peaceful, beautiful. Not only that, what is really astonishing and amazing is the social harmony and social respect. People respect each other. If you ask them today, are you from the Hutu or the Tutsi? He says, don't ask me, I am Rwandan. No more tribes, don't mention my tribe. My tribe is of the past. We don't belong to tribes anymore. I am a proud Rwandan. See, they had a leader who unified them, who taught them that you have to respect each other. You are citizens of one country. There is no discrimination. There is no prejudice. There is no one tribe above the other. There is no supremacy. See, we could not do this in America here. We have a president who does exactly the opposite. Discrimination. Shattering his nation. This leader that they had, he's not a Muslim. But he's a true human being. He appreciated what God has given them. He united the country after this devastating, horrible, horrible, horrible civil war that cost them 1 million. Today, they respect each other. And you know what? Something that you can't believe. Now they took the kids. They are not kids anymore because it happened in 1994. The orphans of the minority, which is the Tutsi tribe, they were raised by their enemies, the Hutu, who murdered them. In the same house. Can you imagine? They live together. I remembered what God said in this book. وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. You were enemies fighting. God brought your hearts together. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ. By the blessing of God, إِخْوَانَا. You became a brothers. It happened in Africa. And now the Muslims, we kill each other. In Syria, the Syrians themselves kill each other. The Iraqis kill each other. The Yemenis kill each other. The Saudis. What's happening to us? In Libya today, right now, shelling each other from the same country. And they all say we are Muslims. They all claim to be Muslims. This is not Islam. Islam has to be visible in your behavior, in your akhlaq, in your rahmah. Our prophets was sent only as mercy and forgiveness. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. I can't imagine someone who says, I'm a Muslim, but he doesn't have rahmah. If you don't have rahmah, you're not a Muslim. Even if you pray 50 times a day. You're not a Muslim. You have to revisit your faith. Revisit your faith. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ بَدَّلُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ كُفْرًا وَأَحَلُّوا قَوْمَهُمْ دار البوار. So one leader comes and resurrects a dead nation, a nation that was fighting. He unifies them. He makes them honorable. Another leader comes to a nation, he devastates his nation. He takes them 500 back into the history, 500. See the difference? Yusuf alayhi salam came to Egypt. Egypt suffered from famine and a drought and hunger and everything. Became the prime minister in charge. He made a paradise out of Egypt. Not only they started eating food, they had surplus of food. And he saved the surplus for their future. Because he was a just person. He was a prudent. He feared God. He did not put, whenever the Hakim puts himself before his sha'ab, before his people, that country is khalas, is devastated, is gone. Whenever the Hakim, the ruler, the Sultan, the president puts the people before himself, like Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam, he would not enjoy food, he would not enjoy rest, he would not enjoy sleep, because he says, I have to check on my subjects. I can't go back home and sleep if someone is in pain, if someone is suffering, if someone is hungry. I can't. He puts his people before. When you put your people before, this is paradise. You turn your country into paradise. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ بَدَّلُوا نَعْمَةَ اللَّهِ كُفْرًا. And here God says, I have given so many things to people. Sometimes we have given them natural resources like oil. Most of those countries who have oil, their people are not benefiting from the oil. This oil is a cause of misery for them, is a cause of tyranny and fight. Sometimes the money that you have, the wealth is not always good. Some people know how to use wealth to build themselves and their countries. Some people know how to destroy themselves and their countries with the wealth that they have. With the wealth. If they don't have wealth, they would be safe. But because they have wealth and the leadership is mismanaging that wealth, they create civil war. They attack other countries. Sometimes God gives a gift like reason, aql. Some people use their aql in good things, in building their countries. Some people use their reason in stealing, in hila, deception. Some people use ilm. Ilm is gift from God. Some people use it to benefit. Some others use the ilm to exploit. Here in America, sometimes ilm and technology, science and technology is used to exploit people. You know how much pharmaceutical companies make every year? How many billions of dollars at the expense of people who are sick? Today I checked on a medicine. Someone in the Middle East said, can you get me this medicine? $450. 30 tablets, huh? $450. Imagine they exploit someone who has heart condition, heart disease. Someone who's not healthy, someone whose his life depends on this medicine. And he cannot afford $450. For what? God has given you the knowledge to save, not to exploit, not to steal, not to take advantage. This is changing God's blessing into what? Into curse. You are not going to benefit. Any penny that is taken from haram unjustly is not going to be a cause of happiness and stability for that person. Any penny, any single penny, it's not going. The hadith says, الدرهم الغصيب, one single dirham coin that has been taken by theft, deception, fraud in the market, and you buy a house. The house is $1 million, but one dirham of it, 1 cent, does not belong to you. الدرهم الغصيب رهن على خراب الدار. It's a guarantee that that house is going to be demolished. It doesn't mean demolish physically. The family is going to be shattered. They are not going to enjoy that house. The family who lives in that house are not going to see happiness, because part of this money, where the house was built with, does not belong to them, belongs to others, especially if it belongs to the weak and the vulnerable in the community. I don't think pharmaceutical companies are going to enjoy. I don't think. Neither sometimes some insurance companies, I'm telling you. I had a friend who was mu'min, true mu'min. He started working in the insurance company. Then he came back to me, he said, I quit. Why? He said, Sayyid, it's nothing but fraud. According to him, I don't know how. I don't know. Don't blame me. This is what he was telling me. And I don't like fraud. Luqma, your food has to be halal, my friend. Halal. Halal. Otherwise, it has consequences. Believe me. Dire consequences. It reflects on you, your family, your children, your grandchildren, your health, your iman. Sometimes it causes disconnection between the abd and his lord. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من نفس لا تشبع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن علم لا ينفع ومن صلاة لا ترفع. Sometimes he prays 5 times a day, it doesn't go up to only the ceiling here, and then it comes back. ألم تر إلى الذين بدلوا نعمة الله كفرا وأحلوا قومهم دار البوار. They caused their people to dwell in the abode of perdition. What is the abode of perdition? The next one, 29, says, جهنم يصلونها. جهنم, hellfire. Wherein they shall be burned. يصلونها. وبئس القرار. What an evil abode. What an evil place. There is nothing more evil than Jahannam. Nothing. Nothing worse than Jahannam. And then Allah says, وَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا لِيُضِلُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. One of the worst types of exchanging the gifts of God into a curse, كُفْرَانُ النِّعْمَةِ. This subject is called كُفْرَانُ النِّعْمَةِ. When God gives us the blessings, we reject it. We misuse it. We take this grant, but we don't use it for what God wants us to use. God says, use your brain in building, not in destroying. Use your brain in bringing 2 people who are not talking to each other, husband and wife, 2 brothers, 2 families, 2 partners, bring them together. Use your talent in bringing people together, in bringing peace, in helping people out, not in shaytana. Do not come to the husband and the wife and separate between them. 2 families are having good time and good life together, you separate between them. Don't do this. Don't do division. Don't do fitna. If you have money, use that amount of money, whatever it is, $1,000 or $1,000,000. Use it to build yourself, your community, to bring peace, to bring stability. I love what some of you did on Sunday, I believe. It was Sunday. When some of you went to the downtown, some of the honorable sisters here, leaders, those are leaders. Those are leaders. Leaders does not have to wear amamaha or put a gal or become the king of sultan. No, no. Leader, when your acts are good, when your acts are inspirational, inspirational. Some of you went to the downtown on Sunday to feed some homeless. You know, one of those homeless people was a Shi'i Muslim. And he asked for a clothing. He asked one of our kids, give me clothing, I don't have a clothing. So whether he's Shi'i or Sunni or a Christian or a Jew or Buddhist or atheist, or he does not believe in God. God said to Ibrahim, Ibrahim, you have to feed people. Don't ask them about their religious identity. Don't. Don't ask people about his name, what your religion you belong. Don't. He's a human being. Human being deserves respect, deserves mercy, deserves attention, deserves help. This is ibadah, an act of worship. I know you have to drive 50 miles, you have to spend 3-4 hours, you have to give money, you have to fill gas, but this is act of worship. Act of worship is not just here. It's not just here in this mihrab. It's not a prayer. Prayers is an incentive for us to be better. It's not the end. Salat is not the end. Salat is not the goal. The goal is to be a better person, to be a better human being, to share my food, to share my clothing, to share my money, to share my medication, to share my time, to share my intelligence, my knowledge, my expertise, to help others. This is ibadah. This is ibadah. This is what makes God very happy, very happy. Someone came to Imam al-Sadiq. He said, today, Imam said, today you were not there. He said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, there was a problem in the community. I went to help someone out. I didn't come to you because I was helping someone out. Imam al-Sadiq said, Wallahi laqad afrahtana. Wallahi laqad afrahta abai. Wallahi laqad afrahta amir al-mu'mineen. Wallahi laqad afrahta Rasulallah. Wallahi laqad afrahta Allah fi arshih. You made us happy. You made me. You made my fathers. You made Amir al-Mu'mineen. You made the Prophet. You made God happy. When you rescue someone, when you save someone, this is the essence of a humanity, my friends. We are humans. We are here to help each other. وَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا لِيُضِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ They set up equals unto God that they might lead astray from His way. Some individuals turn people away from God. How do they turn them away? Sometimes individuals, sometimes political leaders. When I say I represent Islam and I am a father, but I misbehave at home. And when my kids say, why? I'm telling them I'm Muslim, I'm worshipping God. They are not going to be interested in Islam anymore. They say, look at, my father says I'm a Muslim. But look at the way he behaves. He doesn't have akhlaq. This is what we do sometimes. We claim that we represent God, we represent deen, religion, we represent Islam. But we misbehave. We don't communicate with our children. We neglect them. We abandon them. We are angry at them. We disappoint them. We put them down. Or sometimes someone, I told you this story, someone said, not in this state, in another state, he said, I used to loan people money. I used to lend them money, give them loans, small loans. I had a budget, $20,000, $30,000. Someone comes, I give him $200, $2,000. This one, his car broke down. This one needs, you know, for his mortgage, whatever. And I stopped. I said, Haj Fulan, why did you stop? Not in this state, somewhere else, on the East Coast. He said, because of two incidents. People who are religious in my community, they go for ziyarah and Hajj and Ramadan every night. In the masjid, siyam, salat, dua, dua kumail, dua, whatever. Each one of them took 5,000. They never returned it. It's not good. It reflects on others. People start suspecting about Islam, about everyone who worships, about every mutadayin. People would say the mutadayin is harami. He's a thief. Don't do that. You are an ambassador. Every Muslim of us, every individual, we represent Ahlul Bayt. We represent Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatima al-Zahra and Prophet Muhammad and Islam. Don't do that. This is very damaging. Damaging. God says some people do this. لِيُضِلُّ عَن سَبِيلِهِ. They turn people away from the path of truth. لِيُضِلُّ عَن سَبِيلِهِ. Then God says, if you cheat and steal and corrupt, قُلْ تَمَتَّعُوا. For truly, go and enjoy this life. This is sarcastic, huh? Allah is being sarcastic here. قُلْ تَمَتَّعُوا. Okay, enjoy this life. For truly, your journey into is unto the fire. قُلْ تَمَتَّعُوا فَإِنَّ مَصِيرَكُمْ إِلَى النَّارِ. This life is very short. How long do you want to survive? How many years? How many? Look at your father. Every person should ask himself, herself. My father, my mother, my uncle, my grandfather. For how long they lived? This is your average life. Don't think how you are an exception. You're going to live for 150 years. Though some women, they say always, inshallah, you live 150 years. But it doesn't happen, believe me. It never happened and it would not happen. Besides, if you live for 90 years, you become paralyzed. Your eyes doesn't see, your ears doesn't, your legs doesn't move, you know. You are bedridden. What is the enjoyment of such terrible life? What is the enjoyment? This life is short-lived, short-lived. We are in a dream. This weekend, I was in Vancouver, British Columbia. I have a sister there. So I spent Saturday, I went Saturday morning. I came back after 40 hours, Monday morning. I was talking to her today. She said, your visit was a dream, like a dream. Only 48 hours. I said to her, this entire life is a dream. Believe me. Not just 48 hours. This entire life is like a dream. At the time of death, we will say this word, that this is a dream, it was a dream. You live for 70 years and it is a dream. It's a dream. So at least make this a dream good, okay, so you don't regret it. At the time of departure, you say, Alhamdulillah, I know it was a dream, short life, but at least I was able to score Some points, inshallah. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat. There is the mother of our honorable sister Hajja Muzayyan al Wandawi. Her mother is undergoing critical surgery. Also, we do dua for sister Hassan Buhliqah, who had a surgery, and Brother Mahmoud Rida, who waits for us every night to mention him, to Brother Ammar al-Khadr, inshallah, to make a full recovery and come back, because this camera is lonely without Ammar al-Khadr. He's following me now and watching me, so this camera is lonely. She's missing Ammar al-Khadr. Ammar, the cameraman, he had a surgery, so he's recovering at home, so we pray for him. Also, we pray for Haj Muhammad Mushtahidi, who drew these beautiful verses of the Quran for us. So please raise your hand and recite with me. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Amman yujibu al-muzdarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu al-su'. Amman yujibu al-muzdarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu al-su'. Amman yujibu al-muzdarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu al-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المرضى المنظورين اللهم ألبسهم ثوب العافية والشفاء عاجلا يا أرحم الراحمين وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.